had my son try to interrupt my interview, so I'm glad to hop in with you guys.
I like him already. He said, "Daddy, give me some attention. The hell with them." How old is he?
He's 2 and a half.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. He's trouble, too.
And I'm sure he was behaving until the phone rang. I've had that problem. Like, Daddy has a phone call. I need you to be quiet in 5 minutes. And they're quiet. And then I get on the phone. And then they need everything. The bathroom, a drink. They want to go outside. Sometimes they're just evil, but they're also awesome.
Evil.
Yeah, I mean, in the best possible way.
Oh, okay.
They can get you.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, so is he your only kid?
No, I have. He's my youngest. Then I have two girls who are 5 and 8.
Does the 8-year-old care that you, like, does she think it's cool what your job is yet?
Oh, she doesn't care at all.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of waiting on that, too. I've got 6 and 3, and the 6-year-old kind of at times thinks it's fun, but really not anywhere near what I'm hoping for.
And you do what again, Daddy?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. It was cool when I played football, but now it's just like, oh, you just talk about it?
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Hey, tell her that talking about it still pays for your clothes and the food that goes in your mouth, right?
Exactly.
So how are you, you've done some work for the Jets, of course, and now you're going to do some work for CBS Sports. And do some sideline work, I believe, to start with. And your first foray into the sideline stuff?
Yes, it is. You know, and I'm very excited about it. And it was kind of funny because before CBS approached me with the sideline role, I had the opportunity to be a sideline reporter for the Boomer Esiason game. For the Boomer Esiason Foundation game, it's New York City versus Long Island High School All-Star game, and it's on CBS Sports. And it was an awesome experience. I got to interview the players in the sidelines after they scored, you know, give some great interviews and just, you know, show my personality. So it was a good introduction to the sideline reporting, and I'm very excited to be doing it with CBS.
See, hear that? Sorry, dog, that won't wag its own tail. I did some great interviews.
Well,
spoken like a defensive back.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit of a jump when the kid from Canarsie High School becomes Nick Saban and he's angry over a bad first half. Just be careful with your questions as you're walking off the field. Is it weird, Solaric, to be on the other side of things now, from going from playing to talking to the players and coaches?
Yeah, you know, it can be. You know, especially after, you know, being on SNY, you know, the Jets haven't been the most successful team the last couple of years. And sometimes you have to be critical of the guys. And, you know, what I try to do, I always tell people, is I try to be critical of their actions, not them personally. And that really, you know, the players respect that. You know, I'm around the players a lot. And so that in that sense, it's getting better. But it is hard. Just, you know, you're used to preparing for a game for you to go out there and play, not studying, you know, other people's tendencies to just talk about them. So it's a good aspect. You know, as defensive players, linebackers, and safeties, we have to do all the communicating and all the studying and talking anyway. So I think it's a smooth transition over to talking about it on the television side.
So let's pretend you're at Jets camp yesterday for CBS Sports, and Christian Hackenberg just got kicked off the field for breaking the huddle wrong twice. What's going through your head after that?
Oh, man, that has to be – I mean, it has to be a sign of some things that he's not really coming along as fast as they want him to, or maybe taking it as serious as the team wants him to. But, you know, I was at that scrimmage on Saturday night, and, you know, Christian Hackenberg looks like he's progressing. You know, last year when I watched him in training camp, I had to kind of grimace a little bit because of how the ball was coming off his hands. He was throwing the ball hard, but it was nowhere near where he was trying to throw it. And he's getting more accurate. He's getting more composed. And I think that, you know, he's going to progress. I don't know if he's going to be the starter or if he's going to be that quarterback who they can lean on. But I think he's making strides and working in that direction.
So, Eric, in all the years you've been around football, have you ever seen a quarterback told go to the sideline because you don't know how to break the huddle correctly?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. I've never really seen a quarterback get embarrassed like that in front of the team. You know, they always kind of hold them in high regard and have them in that lead position. But for them to be to kick him out of practice, they have to be pretty frustrated with his progress. So that's never a good sign if you're trying to move forward with him as your leader, your team, getting kicked off the field. So they've got a long way to go.
I guess one more Jet question, and then we'll get to college football. Why is Sheldon Richardson still fighting Brandon Marshall? What's he getting out of the back and forth still in the media now?
Because, you know, Sheldon is he's never going to back down from any challenge. And, you know, and I think what happened last year in the locker room, Brandon, you know Brandon, he's on television. He had his own show, you know, always in the media. And it comes to the point sometimes where you're a big money player, you're getting paid a ton of money, you're always in front of the media, and when it's time to deliver, if you don't deliver, then the guys on the other side of the ball are going to get frustrated, especially if you're always in front of the camera. So I think it was a long time coming. That beef had built up over a couple of months, and you know, and then when Sheldon got in trouble with the Snapchat. And Brandon kind of embarrassed him a little bit. I think that things over, you know, they overflowed a little bit. And it's definitely personal. I don't know if they've come to blows or anything, but now they're on the other side of the tracks, and that beef is going to continue.
Well, Sheldon Richardson needs to worry about Sheldon Richardson because he's a malcontent and can't keep his nose clean. One last question officially now about the Jets, because I've reported on the show a couple weeks ago that this coaching staff, they were – very optimistic about this nondescript roster that they have before them. What are your thoughts on their chances this year, at least being 500?
I think the chances of them being 500 are very slim. You know, I picked them to win 5 or 6 games, and that's just based off the fact of on defense, they have a lot of talent, they're young, and they're going to give maximum effort. You know, I think sometimes when you're a younger team, you don't know going into a situation that, you know what, we should probably lose this game.
Yeah.
You know that this team is better than us on paper. When you're young, you just go. And that's what kind of guys they have. I mean, you saw Jamal Adams, you know, making statements in the media about how much he loves the game of football. But when you watch him practice, you can really see his passion for the game. You know, he's a young guy who comes in and he's yelling at everyone. He's calling out plays. He's leading. He's telling guys where to get lined up. And those are the kind of players that you need if you're going to win games. So I think defensively they have room for optimism. You know, I think they should be excited about what their team is going to put on the field. But offensively, you know, you look at the wide receiver core, and they just lost Quincy Enunwa in the scrimmage. And before that, it was kind of like, okay, there's Quincy and who else? Who else is going to step up and be that receiver? So now they have a whole receiving core who they have question marks about, and also a quarterback. So they're in a tough position. You know, if they can find some key components, you know, through free agency or someone emerges as a star player, then that would be great. But defensively, they have room for optimism. Offensively, it's going to be.
That is Quincy is Chauncey on this show, just so you know. All right,
that's how excited I am about the Jets. I called them Chauncey before, so they had problems in my head before the injury. Eric Coleman's with us here, brand new member of the CBS Sports family, college football analyst, as the new season inches ever so closer. Eric, this week Greg Schiano said his current Ohio State defensive line was better than the one he had with the Buccaneers in 2012 and 13. And to no disrespect to those Buckeyes who may be really good NFL players, they're not in the NFL just yet. Why do seemingly smart people keep making comparisons between college football and the NFL?
Oh, no. I never got that. You know, you're talking about, you know, some boys. boys, you know, who maybe they will develop into great players one day. But there's no way that in college that they're better than anyone in the NFL right now. You know, you might have, you know, when you had Joey Bosa, when he was playing, like, yeah, he's going to be a great player. But as a unit, I mean, these guys in the NFL, you know, the work they put in, the technique, the strength that you get, that you acquire as just being a grown man, there's no way that the Ohio State defensive line is better than any of the defensive lines he's coached in the NFL. So, you know, I think it's just a way for him to pump up his team, to give some confidence to his defensive line. But, you know, I think he went about it in the wrong way.
Yeah, he can be confident in him, but stop lying.
Exactly.
let's talk about your Washington State Cougars, man, because 8-5 a season ago, some big wins, and they did something they haven't been able to do, and that's really under Mike Leach, which is run the ball. How excited are you about the Cougars, especially with Luke Falk? Falk coming back at quarterback, one of the best in the game.
I'm very excited about him. I mean, you know, you start off with Luke Falk, who's you know, one of the most prolific passers in college football right now, coming back for another year. And when you talk to Luke Falk, he's like talking to Mike Leach on the field, as strange as that is. You know, everyone knows how
that's strange.
Yeah, how different of a personality Coach Leach is. But, you know, very intelligent guy. Luke Falk is a great leader for that offense. And the offensive line is what I'm excited about. You know, Cody O'Connell, you know, All-American guard. Oof. I mean, this guy is 6'8", about 360.
What do they call him, county or continent or something?
Yeah, the continent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that unit has another year together to grow. And then that running game, as you mentioned, you know, the running game, Jamal Morrow, James Williams, and Gerard Wicks, you know, those are three running backs who offer three different things on the field. I think James Williams is probably the most diverse. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. You know, Wicks is a guy who's a power back, and Morrow is like your return man. He's the scat back who fits perfectly in that offense. So it was great once you saw Washington State establish the run last year, because early in the season you saw teams rushing three and dropping eight in the coverage, and it was giving Luke Falk all kinds of problems. But once they were able to establish that run, it made the defense commit more defenders to the box and created more one-on-one situations on the outside and allowed Luke Falk to take advantage. So I think if they can run the ball, they can still be a run-first offense, as crazy as that sounds in that air raid offense. If they can continue to run the ball well, they'll have a lot of success in the Pac-12.
Can they win the North?
I think they can. I really do. I think they can. It's going to be tough. You know, University of Washington is a very good football team. They have a great defense, some great defensive backs. You know, Oregon is always going to be a competitor up there. But, you know, I think it's definitely a possibility if they execute well on offense and that defense continues to grow. You know, I think that they had some youth last year in the secondary. You know how the secondaries are. It's all about chemistry, and hopefully they can grow and continue to blossom and not give up so many big plays. I think they'll have some success.
And don't forget about Stanford, who they did defeat a season ago. But Stanford's looking good this year, and you mentioned Washington and Oregon would be better than they were last year as well. Who else are you looking out for? Of course, preseason polls are out, and I had to submit mine yesterday. Alabama number one, even though they've got a lot of holes to fill on the defensive side of the ball, but they fill them better than anyone. Then I have Ohio State. Oklahoma's in my top five, and I think just outside of it is Clemson, the reigning national champions. How do you see it?
You know, I think you have it about right. You know, I do like Oklahoma, you know, with them bringing back their quarterback. You know, Alabama's always going to be at the top. Yeah. I think USC is going to be a solid team. You know, I'm a West Coast guy, so yeah. I'm going to always show love to those guys.
For sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I think your top five, you had it about right. You know, this is going to be a very competitive college football season. I'm really excited to be a part of it and to talk about it and to watch these teams grow and mature. You know, it's so tough. When you talk about, you know, these teams in these power conferences, you know, they just beat each other up. So if you can survive your conference, it's saying a lot about what you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about coming out of the Pac-12 or the ACC or the SEC. You know, if you can, you know, I like Georgia. Georgia is another team.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought this popped into my head. Georgia is a team I think is going to compete as well. So
yeah, I like Georgia. I like Auburn, and I got some surprises as far as my college football playoffs. The four, I got some good surprises like I do each and every year, so I'm going to jinx another team. I can't share it now, so you have to wait till we have our preseason preview shows.
Oh,
here.
You're holding it for TV?
Oh, yeah, I got
it. Oh, how
it
fancy
goes.
Of you.
But I got some. Oh, you want to know right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not afraid to tell you right now. My college football four are Auburn,
mm-hmm.
Penn State,
uh-huh.
Florida State,
okay.
And Oklahoma.
Whoa, nice. You forgot to say Alabama.
Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Auburn,
uh-huh.
Florida State,
right.
Penn State,
uh-huh.
And Oklahoma.
You know you're saying Auburn, what? Right?
Auburn!
Wow.
Boy, gosh, Chauncey is Auburn, okay? I think I have a quarterback, Jared Stidham. He's going to be able to hit wide receivers that they couldn't hit a season ago.
Did Alabama disband football this year?
No, okay. No. They're going right. to be in the mix, but that's my four. Everyone else can have their four, okay? Mine. I'm jinxing. Who did I jinx? I jinxed Tennessee last year, and I guess I'm going to jinx Auburn and Penn State this year?
You want to take this one, Eric, or you want to just go back to bed? I mean, to me, like, you can pick Alabama, then mess around with the other three. Why you?
You pick Alabama.
I just did. I did.
Thank
I
you.
I mean, I can see that. You know, it's a tough conference. You know, Alabama always has that bullseye on their back, and they're going to get everyone's best game, as they always say. And, you know, they're like the Patriots, where they play so many extra games, so many more games than everybody else, that at some point it's going to catch up to them. So maybe this is the year.
And I probably will have Alabama favored in that first game versus Florida State, but Florida State can overcome that, just like Alabama's been able to overcome a loss. Clemson was able to overcome a loss to Pitt a year ago in the middle of the season, the middle to late part of the season. So I think the same thing can happen to Florida State if they are to lose that first ball game. Hey, Eric, before we let you go, we one more NFL question. Jay Cutler comes back, signs with the Dolphins, says he's not really in great shape, and being a quarterback, you don't have to be in great shape. I would differ somewhat. You got to have some pretty – have to be in pretty good shape.
Absolutely. I mean, that arm has to be in shape, your legs. You know, you've got to be in tip-top shape to come into this league and perform at any position. You know, so it's funny. I questioned whether he was just kind of sitting around and thinking like, man, $10 million, I can't make $10 million doing anything else. Yeah. I might as well go play football. That's how it is in my imagination. That's how I picture the negotiations going down. But, you know, I mean, everyone knows that Jay Cutler has a great arm. You know, he's not the best decision maker. And he kind of comes off as being a guy who doesn't really care sometimes. But I really do think he wants to be a good football player. And for the sake of the Dolphins, who have a very good football team, I hope he comes in and leads and helps him win some games.
Eric, again, welcome to the family. Congrats on the new gig, and good luck during this the coming season. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, my man.
Eric Coleman, 9-year NFL vet, now doing the better work on the other side of the microphone. That's the place to be.
Damn, I'm going to have to take him out, man. He sounds too good.
Part of the college.
Call one of my boys. Go see him.
There you are again. The show began with
maim
you.
Maim him a little bit.
Teaching us how to cheat with honor, and now we're killing competition.
Yes, whatever it takes, baby. Hold on for a couple more years, Eric.
Mikey, tell Eric to watch his back.
You better.
Make sure he always knows where the exit is when he's at a restaurant. Nick Faldo, I don't think, is after a college football gig,
so he
is safe to appear on this show in about 20 minutes.
I've had breakfast with Nick. Nick's a good dude, man. Good stories.
I'm sure he's not going to remember that.
No, he probably won't. That's all right. I remember.
In between now and then, we will get an update from Darwin Zook. We still have not touched on David Griffin and Kyrie Irving, the former Cavs GM, complimentary of the possibly soon-to-be former Cavalier point guard. So go nowhere. It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
We've got Guns N' Roses tickets. Listen to Tiki and Tierney for your chance to win right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Darwin said his appearance on Love in the Wild might have sailed off into the ether, but nope.
I hoped it had.
He's over there in my hunting grounds, man. Come on, you poacher.
Brian definitely urinated in a tree to mark his territory, and you guys ignored it. So here's a little sample of Darwin Zook on Love in the Wild.
Jason was able to dive down, and I thought, oh, God, what's the luck right now? Because while I'm good at other things athletically, swimming is not one of them. It was a little awkward not being able to impress the girl the way I had expected to.
A helium challenge? What's going on?
Jason was able to dive down, and I was very impressed with the conch shell he brought to surface.
I am not a swimmer.
What was that? Had they not dropped yet? What's the deal?
I don't know.
Dr. Pole, get a hold of you.
A few years ago. They modulated me. What did you? Did they find that on YouTube? How'd that happen?
Yeah. We'll blame the transmission.
The voice, something.
Yeah, low bandwidth.
It was a little awkward not being able to impress the girl.
I mean, I've known Darwin since 1999, and your voice has never sounded like that.
I'm going to be pulled off the radio right now. The boss is coming in.
Well, the Yankees knocked off the Red Sox last night.
The one thing I can't do is swim.
Oh, man.
Please tell me you didn't get the girl. They probably left your ass in the wild. We're going to let him grow a pair. He needs to sit here in the woods for a minute.
When I got teased after the show, I used to, you know, try and justify how it went wrong or how we lost. Now I just take the medicine. There's no reason anymore to try and explain it away. You just say yes to however it comes at you. So.
It was a little awkward.
I can see Brittany being like, you know, Darwin's a good guy, but that voice is...
Come on, baby. I'm going to give it to you. Come on.
Oh, man.
Take that. Take that.
Well, keep your big boy voice and do your update.
All right. Thanks, guys. Sports is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Hopefully, they're still a sponsor after I'm... Whether you're buying or selling, get every advantage you can. Get Realtor. As the guys will get into shortly, Mike Trout started off his birthday by having trash dumped on him. They'll explain that. But he celebrated in a better way on the field against the Orioles.
Here's the next pitch. And that one is lifted high and deep. This one looks fair this time. Hits the foul pole. Home run. Out of here, Mike Trout on his birthday.
Terry Smith, Angels Radio Network there. The fourth time in his career, Trout has homered on his birthday. And earlier in the game, he also collected his 1,000th career hit. The Angels lost the game, though, to the Orioles 6-2. Manny Machado with a grand slam. Bryce Harper's career path continues to mirror Trout, almost eerily so. Harper blasted his 150th career homer in the Nationals' 3-2 win over the Marlins. Harper hit 150 at the exact same age to the day that Trout hit his 150th, 24 years old, 295 days. Javier Baez, an inside the park homer as the Cubs took out the Giants 5-3. The Cubs increased their NL Central lead over the Brewers to 1.5 games. Milwaukee fell to the Twins 5-4. The Cardinals got back to the 500 mark for the first time since early June. They crushed the Royals 11-3. And Trevor Williams, a stellar effort. He allowed just one hit in seven innings as the Pirates blanked the Tigers 3-0. NFL news, veteran cornerback Brandon Flowers expected to announce his retirement later on today. And former Jaguars offensive tackle Brandon Albert, who retired just a week ago after 9 seasons, he apparently now wants to come back. Albert reportedly informed the team he wants to return, but no decision has been made as of yet. And as you guys talked about earlier, Johnny Manziel says if he can make it back to the NFL, if he can't make it back to the NFL, he'll be interested in becoming a college coach. And in golf, PGA Championship gets underway Thursday at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. You can, of course, watch the final two rounds on CBS. Starting in 2019, some changes. Golf's final major will become golf's second major. The tournament will be moved to May, played about a month after the Masters. And finally, one NBA note, T-Wolves owner Glenn Taylor said that he's willing to give his young star Andrew Wiggins a max-level extension of his rookie contract worth $150 million. But first, he wants to sit down with Wiggins and make sure he's committed to the long-term future of the team. Back to you guys.
Darwin,
oh, God, what's the luck right now?
I knew it was coming. I thought it was going to come in the middle. You guys showed a little mercy on me. Thank you.
Gosh, that was a good report.
It's going to be Andrew Wiggins in his lead. Oh, gosh, thank you for the max deal, sir.
Thought you said sounded great.
Thank you.
Oh, God. What's the luck right now?
If you listen to her after, by the way, her voice sounds a bit odd, too.
It did. So, I would agree.
It's a little bit the...
But she's not here.
Exactly.
You are.
I'm not going to blame the sound text on Love in the Wild.
Yes.
While Darwin was doing the update, I'm watching live footage of Jay Cutler stretching at Dolphin training camp, and I'm going to create controversy and say that Matt Moore and Jay Cutler have not made eye contact yet. In the last 2 minutes.
So stretching.
Now they're stretching. Matt Moore's looking back through his legs, but Jay Cutler's not looking.
They don't need to make eye contact or he's stretching.
Ice. Your video is playing, Brian. Oh.
Yeah, stop playing video.
I don't think your computer's voice activated. Turn off. Well, we were lucky that's what was playing and not anything unnecessary.
Man, I don't have anything unnecessary on my dude, thanks, Darwin Zook.
Yeah, that Mike Trout thing that Darwin mentioned.
The ritual pass. Of dumping the... What, they put flour and syrup
first
and chocolate?
It's eggs to create a base so everything sticks.
Oh, okay.
Then flour. There were two different colors of, like, Slurpees. There was coffee creamer, water, ice.
And this was before... After the game.
After the game.
Yeah. Well, how do you expect you to see if you do that before? Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not before. They're at least smart enough to wait until after the game.
And the food looks good, doesn't it?
But my fear is when you start mixing things, they can become things they're not supposed to. Like, someone's going to get, like, a chemical burn from all these things being dumped on top of their head. It's a stupid thing.
You think it's stupid?
It's stupid.
Yeah. Stupid.
It's stupid.
So you wouldn't enjoy the
No, no.
We should do it to you.
I'll tell you what, though. If the Jets... Should I finish this thought? If the Jets somehow finish at 500 or better, so they just got to... If they get to 8 wins,
yeah,
you can do that to me.
You got it. We got it on tape.
Yeah.
We got it recorded.
I got that.
Mark it.
Yeah.
8:31 Eastern Time. On whatever today's date is,
right,
the year of our Lord 2017.
Jay Cutler just pulled a hammy doing high knees.
Oh, and Matt Moore's laughing.
I'm joking.
Matt Moore's pointing and laughing.
He can barely raise his legs.
Look, they went right past each other. In line.
You don't speak to each other.
No fist bump, no little nod of the head. How you doing, Matt? Yeah, you just liked the hotel last night. Look at that. Wow.
You're terrible.
That is pure hate. That's Biseglia, Brian Jones level disregard.
BFFs.
Who?
Me and Brian. Brian and I.
Yeah? Your thoughts, Brian. Good point. So David Griffin, the former Cavaliers GM, is actually calling Kyrie Irving courageous for going to Dan Gilbert and voicing his desire to be traded. Now, I actually don't disagree with that point. It's better to be honest, and if you want to be out and say it, and don't go to the media. Just, you know, do it in private and hope it comes to fruition. But I still don't understand Kyrie Irving's desire to not be LeBron's teammate. So he can be courageous in one way, but to me, he's also being stupid.
Well, Griffin's comments, and he couched them in this way, saying the guy wants to go out and realize who he is. Well, he realized who he was without LeBron his first 3 years in the league there at Cleveland, and now he's gone to 3 straight finals with LeBron, lost the first one. He was actually injured in that one, and you win one, and then you lose this last one. So now you want to go out and spread your wings, and if you want to be successful in this league, as we found out, not just these last few years, throughout the history of the league, you got to hit your wagon to other superstars. And maybe not 3 or 4 like they have there at Golden State, but there's got to be there's got to be some other cats who can ball on your level for you to realize another championship season. So I don't know. Yes, LeBron casts a huge shadow. We know that. That's a given. But you still get your just due, man. You're still being noticed. You're still being recognized. Everyone treats you in the manner in which you deserve to be treated because you are a superstar in your own right. So I don't get this. There has to be more to this story. And Griffin is correct that it's better for you to go and tell the owner instead of being there all part of this team and being miserable. If that's possible, you're being miserable on your way to another opportunity potentially to play for a championship. So if that's miserable, sign me up.
Yeah.
But we're not there behind the scenes. We don't know what type of relationship he has with LeBron. But LeBron is going to be the big dog. That's just the way it's going to be until he retires.
Now, the newsiest thing from David Griffin on ESPN yesterday was that the Celtics are on Kyrie's wish list. And again, newsflash, you don't want to play under LeBron. You go to Boston, Isaiah Thomas, the city is in love with him right now, and they just obviously brought in Gordon Hayward. A white small forward in Boston is going to be fairly popular as well. So, I mean,
I was like, what's this color have to do with it?
Where's Kyrie going with this? I mean, he wants his own thing, but he's not asking to go to, you know, someplace where he's going to be the number one guy, except for the Knicks, but then he's going to go be number one
Phoenix
on a terrible team. Not even the Knicks, because of Porzingis.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm with you. I don't get it. That's why there has to be more to this story, and maybe there is a rift in this relationship with LeBron.
Yeah, maybe he's always singing and it's just he's had enough. It's like, dude, shut up with the Meek Mill. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Nick Faldo is next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Sure.
How you doing, Sir Nick Faldo?
I'm good. I'm alive and kicking. How you doing?
I am doing well.
Nick, we should ask you this. It seems to make sense to us, but what do we know? You certainly know better. The move of the PGA Championship reportedly up to May. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it's going to condense the season. You know, probably the players will go to March. So we'll have the players in March, obviously Augusta, April, PGA May, US Open June, and the Open July, and then the FedEx Cup. I think they're going to bring the FedEx Cup forward as well. So we'll all be wrapped up before NFL starts. You know, then there will still be obviously other golf events going on after that. Could be a season, but I think the guys might like that because it means you know, you base yourself in America and you're going to play the whole summer. You can play from March right the way through to end of August. So yeah, I think it'd be pretty good. It'd be pretty challenging, but it would be a good move to compact it all, and so everybody can, so we can really, you know, make golf the, you know, one of the summer, main summer events.
Now, Nick, will it be a detriment to the other tournaments around that time that have been very popular? Will there be guys who are getting ready for, and now would be the second major, and so they're going to opt out of tournaments they would normally participate in?
I think there'll be a bit of a shuffle with some events. I mean, No, I think the better players that will like that because, you know, you'll make camp here in America and then you obviously go over for our Open Championship. So, but generally, and then they go off and travel the rest of the world. I mean, that's what they do. I think the European Tour probably won't like it a little bit because, you know, we have a good run through the summer as well. So, yeah, it'll be a bit of a scramble there, but bottom line is, I'm looking at an awful lot of good golf from March 1 to September the 1st. So I thought it's going to be pretty cool.
Nick, they made a number of changes to Quail Hollow since the last time a regular PGA event was there in 2016. What's your first impressions of the new setup, and how much tougher might this weekend be than the Wells Fargo Championship?
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the full setup. Yeah, I've read about it, heard about it. You know, the first is now going to be par 4, 524 yards. So that's a bit of a shock opener. So you better be prepared for that one. Yeah, and the real bottom line is, especially this time of year, they already have, I think we might have 5 or 6 par 4s over 500 yards. Obviously, there's a couple of par 5s you can reach. There's a couple of par 4s you can even reach if they set it up that way. So, obviously, we're all in agreement driving is absolutely going to be paramount. And many of the best players in the world, they played last week, are driving well. Obviously, Rory's driving was exceptional. Plenty of guys can bust it out there, 320 plus. So, the good point is that about a dozen guys playing well. Jordan is trying a historic run. As I said, Rory, Ricky played well, Dustin was playing well, John Rahm, Jimmy Walker even defending. Yeah, the bottom line is we've got a good dozen guys playing really well right now. But it'll be a long, tough course, hot and humid, thunderstorms probably every day. So maybe a few issues to get through, but if he plays really long, well, then it will be a brute. A brute of the week.
Speaking of hitting it long, Dustin Johnson, 439 on the par 5 16th at Firestone. You ever seen anything like that?
That's downhill with a lot of roll. you just gotta hit a top spin lob. You know, one of those famous Bjorn Borg top spin lobs at the top of the hill. It runs all the way. No, yeah, 16 was crazy fun. Then they could try to go for it. But, yeah, it's more impressive with Rory hitting driver everywhere. They hit driver on 1 and they hit it on 17, which we never used to moons ago. And he hit literally every drive over 300. Literally every one. So his driving stats were... But that's the way the game is. The guys are fitter, they're stronger, and the equipment is all designed that way now. So... That you got to have it. You got to have a pocket rocket in you.
A pocket rocket. Speaking to Nick Faldo, CBS Sports Golf analyst, a champion in his own right here on CBS Sports Radio, Gio and Jones. Now, Rory, you mentioned is playing pretty well. He fires his caddy. How big of a shakeup is that, really? I think Mickelson earlier, too, he separated from his longtime caddy. Is that a shock to the system, or sometimes is this is necessary to get the golfer motivated or going in a different direction?
Yeah, it was like a breath of fresh air in a way. I mean, I thought he handled it really gentlemanly. You know, he said, hey, JP's been a great mate of mine for 10 years. I was starting to treat him badly. I didn't want to blame stuff on him. And he said, hey, you take responsibility. When you've got the yardage strip in your hand, you start looking at the shots. You pay a bit more attention to everything. You start going, you know, what have I got to do? And what's my, not just picking the club, you know, where it's going to land, how it's going to react on the green. You've got to take responsibility for everything. Rather than asking somebody and they give you an answer and then they find it wrong. Well, as you know, you'll learn more if you're doing more yourself. So he's got his best mate on the back. It's not like he, you know, picked up a guy out of the bushes like we used to moons ago. So, no, I think that was all good. That was all fine. Phil was another amazing story. You know, Bones was, I mean, maybe there was just too much talk going on there. And Phil, you know, so, hey, yeah, sometimes these things happen, but, you know, Rory handled it very well, I thought.
Nick, we know you're busy, so we'll let you run. Thank you so much for the time to talk to you. It was an honor. Right. Enjoy the golf this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot, gang. Cheers.
Tell Leslie Ann I said hi.
All right, sure will. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There is Sir Nick Faldo, six-time major champ, 3 Open Championships, 3 Masters, and of course the lead CBS golf analyst. The PGA Championship begins on Thursday. Third and final round coverage begins Saturday at 2 Eastern. With Mr. Nance and Faldo in charge. So where do you want to begin? Pocket Rocket or somewhere else?
Pocket Rocket.
I didn't know that was a golf term.
I didn't either.
Well, good for those guys that they have them on the course. You would have think that'd be against the rules, but what do I know?
True. I've been saying that for a while. No, you know a lot, dog. Yeah. Pocket Rocket.
I didn't know that.
But, I mean, Dustin Johnson, 439.
It's
of course,
Chauncey Johnson.
Chauncey Johnson. You get some roll, but, man, you're talking about blasting. I don't even think those longest drive dudes hit it that far, do they?
Oh, you know what? I was one of those. One of our TVs was on that overnight one time.
A couple of weeks ago,
and there was a dude who might have been 5'8", 245, and he was just solid circular muscle.
The brother.
Yes.
He was blasting
And he had this ridiculous amount of torque on his swing and this big, like, finish. I mean, it was. It also had some carry and some roll to it, but, yeah, it was definitely over 400 yards, no doubt.
It's amazing,
Man, that was impressive.
And these golfers today, the way they blast the ball down these fairways. And Spieth is not as long a hitter as some of these other guys, but yet he's just steady Eddie and can put his you-know-what off, and that's why he's winning these golf tournaments.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy, who came up more than once in that conversation with Nick Faldo, has had tremendous success at this course. He's won multiple times. Other top 10 finishes at Quail Hollow, which normally hosts the Wells Fargo Open Championship Classic, whatever it's called. So Rory's got to be one of the front runners this week. Plus, he played fairly well last weekend at Bridgestone. But as I mentioned to Faldo, I end up thinking way too much about logistics sometimes. But basically, at the end of the Wells Fargo last year in 2016, no joke, as the final group on Sunday teed off on one and began their round, crews came in behind them and started taking down the course.
Right.
Because they were doing so much. They did like years of work in 20 months. Then they still don't really know how they did it. But they changed 1 and 2. They changed 11. It's a different course. And we'll see how it plays out when you factor in the weather as well. But as always, they need to make things tougher than a normal event. And that's what they had to do at Quail Hollow to get it ready for the PGA this week.
And last year it was here at Baltusrol. And having been in that rough, you know you're going to have a couple weeks ago when I played in a charity event out there, you know the rough is going to be high and it'll be difficult if you get out of get out of your lane. But it should be another cool major, and we'll see if Jordan Spieth can go back to back. Chauncey Anunua and Jordan Smith. Yeah. Wow. See, you're bringing me down, man.
Listen, at least you didn't say it to Nick Faldo.
Yeah.
Listen, so your thoughts on Jordan Smith this weekend? Could he win? I'm sorry, what? Cheers. Speaking of golf and events, according to your Facebook page, I'm going another year without an official invite to the Brian Jones Classic.
That was your invite.
I want to come and support the youth of the Lubbock area.
That's Austin.
Austin area, the youth, whatever they are, wherever those youth are, I want to help them.
We are still accepting checks.
Okay.
And sponsorships, so come on, bring it on. We'll take your money.
What could I sponsor?
Oh, look on there. Click on the link.
What do you have for $50?
Give it to me. I'll tell you later. You give it to me. We'll find something. It's for the kids, man.
What's in the goodie bag if you participate in the Brian Jones
Classic? I have no idea, but it's usually a lot of good stuff.
Who's in charge of these things?
My folks over at the Boys and Girls Club in Austin.
So they're just using your name?
No, I participate.
Shouldn't you be there packing bags and cellophane and tying ribbons?
I'm here with you, so I can't.
When do you go to Austin to finalize preparations
for
the Brian
Jones Classic? I go to Austin a week from today.
Okay.
And the event is Wednesday.
Gio and Jones should broadcast from the Brian Jones Classic.
I would agree. Yeah. But it's not a full-blown golf tournament anymore. We just hang out at Top Golf, which if you've ever gone to a Top Golf, it doesn't seem like you have because where you're looking.
Yeah. Mike's asked me, and I've said no more than once.
Yeah. Is there one in this area?
Edison, New Jersey.
How far is that from us? You know?
30 to 40 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad. You should check it out. It's a cool venue,
I've heard,
man.
I've heard.
It's a driving range. It's a club, lounge, restaurant, all that good stuff. It's cool. I may have to make a trip to Edison. I think I'm going to stick around this weekend. Maybe I'll go to Edison. Do some
you guys all want to meet up there?
Let's meet at Edison, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be on vacation this weekend.
Oh, goodbye. Well,
yeah. Thanks to Nick Faldo and to Eric Coleman for joining us today. Those interviews at geoandjones.com/audio. Yeah, for Chauncey and Anunua.
Pocket Rocket.
Jordan Smith and Pocket Rockets and reality TV star Darwin Zook, as well as Mikey B and Petey B and Brian. I'm Andrew. And we'll see you again tomorrow back here on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.